Today, I'm talking to Melissa Castillo, real estate agent with One Sotheby's International Realty in Miami, Florida, and a Breakthrough Luxury coaching member. Just a couple of years into real estate, Melissa's successes already include transactions at the $50 million price point. But, of course, it wasn't always this way. Melissa was born in Cuba. Just before she turned 9 years old, she and her mom and dad moved to the United States of America. She remembers her parents talking about the risk that it would be to leave their family behind, but the security that they had in knowing that their family would have their home. But just a few days after she and her parents arrived in the United States, they found out that the Cuban government had taken their home from their family. Melissa remembers the fear and the hopelessness she felt when she found out. She said that it was in that moment, at just 8 years old, that she made a commitment to dedicate her life to helping others secure their home and ownership in real estate. Melissa and I talk about how she is tapping into the market of $50 million buyers and sellers and how to elevate your career for extraordinary outcomes. Thank you for listening to the Jerry Metcalf Podcast, where top real estate agents tell how they do it. This podcast was created for real estate agents across the country to come together, sharing ideas to take your, their, and our business to the next level. Our episodes are powered by Breakthrough Luxury Coaching and Membership. This is a coaching platform that was created and inspired by Jerry Metcalf Podcast, where top real estate agents tell how they do it. At Breakthrough Luxury Coaching, this is coaching and membership that provides luxury real estate agents community and coaching that create results. To learn more, go to getstarted.breakthroughluxury.com. To get the full story, go direct to the homepage at breakthroughluxury.com. There's a letter from me explaining how all of this came together, and this is now launched and a big part empowered by the Jerry Metcalf Podcast. Last but not least, thank you to our sponsors. Thank you, Modern Luxury Magazine, who's been there through the ups and downs and some of the greatest successes of my career as a real estate agent. At Modern Luxury, connection and community define who we are. Modern Luxury is the nation's largest media company, offering leading brands access to the most affluent audiences in the most prominent cities across the United States of America. And lookbooklink.com, thank you for your sponsorship. This is the digital business card, your digital business card, and it's here. To see mine, go to lookbooklink.com/JMP. Create your own with ease in minutes. You don't even need your kids' help. And you'll have a custom name and a custom QR code for sharing. It shares not only your contact info, it shares key resources for your prospects as you meet people. Your prospects and people that you meet will not only never lose your information, they'll see right away why to hire and refer you without you saying a word. Go to lookbooklink.com and use promo code JMP123 for 10% savings on every Lookbook Link you purchase. And now for the show. All right, everybody, it's the Jerry Metcalf Podcast, where top real estate agents tell how they do it. And today we have on the show Melissa Castillo. She is an agent in South Florida with One Sotheby's International Realty. And I'm going to tell you a little more, but first I just want to say, Melissa, hi. Thank you for coming on.
Hi, Jerry. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's so wonderful, and we're honored to have you here. Because Melissa is not only an agent in South Florida and a top luxury agent, she is an agent with One Sotheby's International Realty. She was in commercial real estate until recently and was closing some beautiful properties in that industry, including a $50 million contract that's coming to close soon. And she's already working, even though it's residential, on similar price points. And you're going to tell us all of the exciting ways you did that. And one more thing, we can't not mention, she is also a member of Breakthrough Luxury Coaching.
Yes. Can't forget about that.
Yeah. So thank you for coming on. So to get us started, first of all, two things, make sure you let me know anything I left out or us know, and How and why did you get into real estate in the first place?
Okay. So I think it's important to say that I wasn't born in this country. I was born in Cuba and came here when I was 8. And a big reason why I knew it was so important, real estate and security in real estate was so important, was because I didn't have that and my family didn't have that. And something that we counted on, your home, passing it down once we got to America, that was taken from us and it was ripped from my family by the government. So immediately I knew that if I could do anything to provide that security to others, that's what I wanted to do. So also I was a little bit weird as a kid growing up. Instead of playing games, I would look at homes on Zillow. So here we are.
Oh, wow. Well, now I feel really old because Zillow like didn't exist in, right? Like you're like, don't remind me. Like, oh
Let's skip
wait.
that
I'm like
part.
literally like you like looked at houses on Zillow,
Growing up.
I thought we were the same age, Melissa. I'm just kidding.
We are.
Which
And I'm in my
actually,
20s.
well, like really everybody, it drives home the point of so repeating what you said. You were born in Cuba and your family decided to come to the United States of America, and it's hard to leave your country. I mean, I can't even imagine what that's like. And I think it's hard for anybody to appreciate and imagine it who hasn't been through it. But not only that, when you left, you had a home that you were leaving, but the home you left was going to be left to your family. But instead, your home was taken from your family. And I mean, I can see like the pain even today. So even at 8 years old, you knew that the way that affected you, that if there was anything you were going to do with your life, it was going to make an impact on other families to protect that from happening to
Absolutely.
people.
Precisely. And it does still hurt, because your home is your most precious thing. So that's how I look at it with everybody that I work with. And I think that's also taken me a long way for sure.
Definitely. And so now, so that was 8 years old. It didn't change. And now here you are a few years later, and you're a real estate agent. So when you got into the business, how did you know? How did you start? Why did you start? Because I think this is your first career.
Yes, this is my first career. I dove right in.
Yeah. So you dove right in, and when you got in, you started, I think you started in commercial. And so coming into this business, what was your, because you're in the commercial end and now you're in the residential. So let's talk about the business in general first, and then we'll talk about your transition. But coming into this business of real estate, the business of sales, the business of everything that it is, what did you expect, and what did you kind of like, what was your surprise?
Okay, well, I think I definitely came in no expectations. I mean, I had no clue, and that's kind of been a blessing, right? So coming to this country with nothing and no money, no guidance, no experience, not knowing anybody. My family definitely, my parents engraved in me very early on that this life was going to be solely what I made it. As a third grader, which when I got here, I was like, okay, I can't speak English, but I can do math. I was great at math, so that's what I focused on, which is also why I dove into commercial real estate starting on, because that is a strong suit of mine. Anyway, all of that to say, I try to go into everything not expecting anything, but at the same time, almost assuming that the best possible case scenario is going to happen. And that's helped me so much.
Yeah. Well, think about that. No, or finish what you were saying, because
No,
I'm
go ahead.
so you're so what I love it, it's like when you come into real estate, like a few messages. Your mom said in this, and I think that's like the common denominator of great agents or great entrepreneurs, is it is what you make it. This world and this life is what you will make it. So you come in to the eighth grade, not the eighth grade, you're 8 years old, into the third grade, and you don't speak English, but you're good at math and you made it work. Now, real estate agents, we come into this industry and we've grown up, we've gone to school, and most people spoke the same language, they didn't have that experience. And we're kind of told what to do. And if you do it, you'll be okay. And you check your box and you move on. You didn't have that childhood experience. You lost your home. You were around a new culture. People didn't speak the language you spoke. I mean, like literally,
like, and you're eight, you're a little kid going through this, but that experience going into real estate feels a little like that, not as extreme. So it's like going into real estate when you have that background of I'm going to figure this language out and I'm going to figure navigate this. And I'm coming in with the mindset that it's up to me to make it what it will be. Mm-hmm. And now you're just breaking into real estate and you're working $50 million deals.
Yes. Well, it goes back to that mindset, you know, that anything and everything is possible. And I think it's all about turning the things that you think are your weaknesses into your strengths. And that was a huge turning point for me.
Mm-hmm. So was that a huge turning point even when you were eight? And
no, I definitely struggled for sure when I was eight and not fitting in and being bullied because, well, if your parents are like, if you don't get yourself through school, we can't, even though we want to, we cannot afford to. That's all I cared about. You know, it's like, okay, school, school, school. And then I started getting bullied for being a nerd. so I really had to hone in on, no, you cannot take my power away from me. This is actually what makes me special. And now I look at that, you know, in everything in life, definitely in real estate for sure.
Oh my God, you don't make me cry. Because it's true, right? But like we all have our light. Don't let, like your mom said, it's yours to make. And you knew I have my light. It's not yours to take. It's my life to make. Exactly. And it's my light for no one to take.
But you got to think about it though. A lot of us, we carry something, right? Just being Hispanic, there's this, not everybody thinks this way, obviously, but it's almost like a stereotype that you are somewhat lesser for being Hispanic or for not being born in this country. And that's definitely something that was tough to break out of, but I'm sure you have something similar that you had to break out of. And I think a lot of people do. And it's that moment where you stop letting others dictate who you are. And you're like, no, this is who I am. And that's it. Like everything else. Like, is
you don't, people, you don't get to label me, right? No. Like I'm not a label. I'm me.
And if I'm a label, I label myself, you know, you don't label me.
There you go. Even better. I'm my brand. I'm me. Exactly. Yeah. And that's where that's where your light is. And it's in that light that you shine that brings you to these levels in real estate. But there's a lot more tangible stuff to that too, that you can share with us. That's beautiful. And I will say Miami or South Florida is the one place, especially Miami, that you're in Brickell, but that you can go and you're in a restaurant and you just don't know at what moment everybody might just get up and start dancing. I mean, it's just like,
there's like, no other place like Miami.
Right. Like I'm English. Apparently my DNA said I'm 60% English and I don't know if you've been, but like, we don't do that.
Yeah. American, a little bit of a difference.
I'm American, but like the ethnicity or the whatever, like it ain't happening.
Yeah, your background is like, I'm not going to dance today.
Right? But like, I don't know, because I've been like, whatever, but we could go on about that. But it's really about, I think my point, and I think yours is too, is you make your, it's your life to make and your light to shine.
And something, and this is completely different, I'm sure we'll get into it later on, but something else that I have found to be a complete game changer is your network. And I, like I said, I didn't know anybody here. So I definitely didn't start with any type of like my father's friends or my mother's friends or nothing like that. But now, and I'm only 25 now, right? But I've realized now that I'm expanding and growing my business, how subconsciously I have such a vast network of people. And this is just, by the way, through being a good person, because these are people that I've encountered throughout my life. And I've just done things for them, asking nothing in return. And now I'm at a place where I'm like, okay, we could work together. And they want to help me, you know, because I help them.
Yeah. Well, the more you contribute, the more abundance you create in your own world that just comes back. And
absolutely.
There's some strategy we're going to talk about in that, but then you do it. But that's a great segue, is just talking about your network. So you grow, so you have this childhood, you overcome these, and it's interesting because I think it's like when you see a kid go through something like that, like having children, it's like, no. But on the flip side of that, when you go through it, what you personally, not everybody, brought forward, and what you can, the light you even bring now, and what you're doing it with your life to help other lives is amazing. And part of that too is like a lot of agents have the network and have the people that they had since they were kids. You're very different from that. You had to see and align where there's two questions in this is, how did that evolve? How did you learn that? And then tell us a little bit how that works now, because that's a lot to do with your success now.
Yeah. Okay. So navigating relationships is definitely still something that I'm working on. Right. And I think that it's a continuous work. And the more that you get to know, this is key, getting to know yourself, the more secure that you are in yourself, now you don't compete with your ego. You know, now you could just be you, and you don't have other things. You don't have yourself getting in the way. So you're just presenting this raw version of yourself, and people could really, really relate to that. So the key to getting to know other people, I would say, is getting to know yourself.
Wow. That's powerful. And then I loved what you just said about when the better you know yourself, the more you can remove your ego and you stop competing. You're competing with your ego, because how much that gets in the way over and over.
No, and it's actually, I was so surprised. So as you know, I am starting my own podcast and doing those. Yeah. It's actually so difficult to listen back to these interviews. I don't know how you do it. I don't know if I'll listen to this one back. Yeah, it's so difficult. And there was this one interview that I did that I was like, oh my gosh, he was not the best. But then I heard it back and I was like, wait, he was actually just fine. It was my own personal bias that got in the way. So, and I was so convinced of where I stood in that conversation while I was in it, but listening to it back, I was like, oh, I was so wrong. So that just made me really think about, I wonder how many times I've been in situations like that where I've let my personal bias or my personal anything, my ego, anything at all, get in the way. And I'm seeing people not for who they truly are, just through like a lens that I have.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Is it that interesting? I find the same thing. Like you have an interview and you're like, and then you go back, or other people are like, that was amazing. And you're okay. Which is why.
Okay.
Right. Like I don't listen to them, but it's all about who we really are. I keep talking about that, but your light and removing your ego. Mm-hmm. So you've got this childhood that taught you all that was not easy, and it's not anyone, the only thing people would wish for is if they're in Cuba that they got out, but mm-hmm. the experience and what you had to go through to get to a better place was not an easy journey, but it's gotten you, we're always on a journey, but where you are now in talking about your network, as you built your network, how did that evolve, and how did you align yourself to the people you aligned to? Was it over time? Was it intentional? Was it a combination, or what was the beginning of it?
It was definitely unintentional at first, but definitely the sweet spot is when you're able to intentionally put yourself in the right place. That's where gold strikes, right? Because we're all lucky, mm-hmm. but you have to put yourself in these lucky situations, you know, like how lucky do you want to be? Because sitting in my house, you know, somebody could call me, somebody could knock on my door, but I don't think really opportunity is going to knock like that, you know? So it was really that turning point where I was like, okay, now I know how to make true relationships with people. Don't start with what you can do for what they can do for you, start with what you can do for them. And I promise they'll reciprocate. So once I figured that part out, and then I was like, wait, now I can merge that and put myself in the luckiest of places, right? And in the right places. Now we're golden. Now there's no stopping us.
I love that. And you just said, focus on, you said, number one, it's about building the relationships. And I was thought, well, I want to learn when you look at a relationship, how you build it. And you said it, I look at what I can do for them. Now, mm-hmm. a lot of people, especially when we're younger, notice how I said we're younger, younger and less seasoned or newer in the business are like, well, I don't really have anything to offer. Just give me the script. What's the pitch? How do I say it to get what I need to get? And that's not your approach. how do you know what you have to offer, and how does your mind work to see that and recognize that?
I think the first step is realizing that people are people. You know, people are not transactions and they're not favors. So I've realized this talking to others about networking and this and that. And a lot of people will be like, oh, no, I can't ask for this favor yet because I'm saving this favor. You know, and it's like a tit for tat. And I'm like, that's not what relationships are about. You know, mm-hmm. if you truly connect with this person on what are they passionate about? What are they looking to do in this world? Because yeah, there's a transaction, but that's coming from somewhere, you know? And once
people are not transactions, people are not transactions or favors. Keep going.
Yeah, exactly. People are people, you know, and once you treat them as such, that's where everything just kind of unlocks. And now we're not even, now I'm happy to do something for you, you know, because you've connected with me on a deeper level. And that's not only for clients, but for example, in One Sotheby's, everyone that I've met here is, I think I pretty much look up to every single person that works here. And that's a big part, always learning. But anyways, through my relationships and building these relationships here and really connecting your daughter, your dog, you know, what gets you excited in the morning? What are your goals? What are you doing this for? Like, sure, you're here today, but where do you want to be tomorrow? And now, like, we have these relationships where I've only been here for a few months, but it feels like I've known these people my entire life. And I do things for them and they do things for me, you know, and it's just so raw.
And nobody's keeping score. Yeah.
Nobody's keeping score. Yeah. Which is the
exactly.
best part.
So as you meet people, and I would give you a quick story. I remember being an agent and I was meeting agents and everybody was like, how does everybody know you? And I was like, yeah. Because I asked them about who they are and I'm interested. Mm-hmm. And I never forget, I would introduce agents to agents and I would say, you know, this is so-and-so. And just to make sure they knew, and I was excited for their accomplishment, this is what they've done. And the other agents would say, well, good for you. And they would go away. And I would think, well, that's why you don't know everybody.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like it's not about looking for things. It's about, you said, learning. Like, mm-hmm. what can I learn? How can I serve you? And how can I grow?
Learn something. Yeah, I remember the saying that was, you got to be interested first and then be interesting. Not be interesting first and then interested in the person.
So, being interested is interesting to most people.
Yeah. So you'd be surprised how many people, and I've noticed this with my friends too, they'll be like, you're just a very good listener. Sometimes that's all that people need. Just shut it for a second and let them run. And sometimes they don't even need you to say anything back. They'll figure it out themselves just talking. And then they'll be like, oh, wow, it was because of Melissa that I was able to figure out such and such. But I didn't do anything. I was just here providing support.
Because the truth is there. It's providing the environment that helps it be revealed. Mm-hmm. And so speaking of that, you have... You know, we talked in the beginning, and we want to get back to this. I know everybody does, is these 50 million, you know, you're working on multi-million dollar transactions, and one is especially large one. How did that unfold? How did a 25-year-old real estate agent in South Florida explore and align to these amazing transactions, and somebody who didn't grow up with the network?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I know it all. So I tried to steer away from where everybody else is going, right? So I remember when I first came into the business, everyone was like going after the 500,000 to the 3 million range. And I was like, I wonder if everybody's going for this. Who's going for like the 50 million? And who's going for the 40 million? And you know what? Turns out it's actually so much easier to head to that. Nobody else will do it. You know, the more unreasonable you are with your goals, the less competition that you have. And once you remove yourself from this category and you put yourself here, and I'm not talking about price point. Now I'm just talking about life in general.
Yeah.
These people that were once competing with you are now supporting you, you know, because you're in a different league. So suddenly all this nasty competitive environment just turns into support because you removed yourself from the league. You're in a different league. You know, I'm in my own league now. And that, so it was a combination of that and also just believing I got this, you know? Yeah. And if they tell me no, that's cool. The next time maybe it will be a yes, you know? At least I put myself in this situation. So it's almost being unreasonable with what you're going after and just believing in yourself and going for it.
Well, it's being the best in the world and knowing it. Now that sounds like an arrogant, delusional statement, but when you can say, this is what I know because of, I know me and I know my sphere of influence and I know my world and my goal. Now this is what I'm going to be the best in the world at. And I'm taking this from Seth Godin, the book, The Dip. We haven't talked about that yet. Read it. Anyway. And then the other part is when you do that, the confidence comes.
And absolutely.
Carry confidence in that. And it's amazing how, if you focus on what you're best at and who you are and how you can best learn, serve, and grow, that the, like we say, if, when you look at things, if you open up to what is out there for you, it's so much greater than what you just go after or other people even tell you you're supposed to go after.
Mm-hmm. And another big part of that is I'm not delusional either. You know, when I first, I knew, I was like, okay, so now I have this $50 million client, but what the heck do I do with it? You know? And it's being able to turn back around and say, I need help. That's a big part of it. And being okay with all of the help in a transaction, I'm never, ever thinking about the monetary result. I'm thinking about how can we get this to the best. A client is so much more than one transaction, you know? So if you are working for the client for whatever is best and to be your best, no matter what percentage you end up getting in the end, that is everything. And all that you'll learn during that transaction and bringing an expert in, oh my gosh, that's priceless. Forget the percentage that you're giving that person. I'll give you anything you want if you can help me close this deal. And that's kind of my outlook on it too.
Well, and what came out of that statement you made too is it's the journey. There are transactions, but those are nothing without a journey, because the journey is taking you to the next transaction. And it's not just transactions, it's life, it's relationships. And there's such a multitude and so many layers of things that can come out of that other than a closed deal.
Absolutely. And the clients feel that.
You have more closed deals, but go ahead.
Yeah. The clients feel that. One client that I'm working with now, he's very sought after. I'm almost like in disbelief that I'm not in disbelief because I'm like, I knew I was going to get him, but it was difficult, you know? And a big part of that was showing him, I do not care about getting paid. You know, I care about you. I care about getting you to where you need to be. And I care about being honest is so important, and being raw, especially when you're working with very high caliber clients, you know, they could see right through you. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm 25, you know, I know what I'm working against. I know that I have to prove myself 10 times harder than maybe a seasoned agent. I'm also new in the market. Why the heck would this person work with me? And that's when you really got to think about, okay, but what makes me different? There's only one of me. Yeah, there's 1,000 agents, but there's only one of me. And what makes me that? And really perfecting that and owning that and finding your strength in that and projecting that to your clients. And that was the key with him.
And I think too, I don't know if this could be a different client. If you want to, I think you want to share this story is, and I'm going to preface it with this. A lot of people see success and $50 million deals as like this mountain to move. And it's really the small gestures and the little things that make the biggest differences in other people's lives and our own.
Yeah.
It was a gift.
Yes, it was a gift. So after meeting this, I didn't even know I was going to get him something, but I met him. He was an older gentleman and very sweet, but also very precautious, you know, mm-hmm. So I knew I needed to show him who I was as a person.
So tell us why, this was for buyer listing, price point, give us a little background. So
yes, so this is a seller, a listing. He's asking a little less than 50, but around 48 million for his house. Definitely very sought after listing here. And he was just so turned off by the typical real estate approach. So turned off. And I caught that, right? And immediately when I came into his house, you got to see what people care about. And this gentleman, he cares about his trees and he cares about his fruit and he cares about what he's growing, you know? So even though he has a $50 million house, he cares about very simple things. And I'm also a very simple person when you take all of this off. And I decided to give him something that would mean a lot to me personally, something that I would give to a family friend. So I'm big into crystals and I went to a crystal store and I, after getting to know him and what, you know, feeling out his vibe or whatever, I selected a crystal for him and I sent it to him and it ended up being that he had a master's in geology and he actually has a passion for crystals and he has a collection of crystals from all around the world. So he wrote me back and he went through, like I said, he's older. He could not find my number anywhere. So he went through extreme measures to find me. Right. Even though it's easy to find. Yeah, I guess not easy enough. So he reached out to me and he wrote me a letter and he's like, Melissa, this is the most thoughtful gift I've ever received. And that was really the turning point, you know, and I could have sent him a marketing plan. I could have sent him anything typical, but it's when you own being atypical, that's where people are like, okay, maybe you are different. Maybe you can give me a different experience. And that was it with him.
And I always find like everybody, but higher net worth, I think can be more sensitive because more people are coming after them, but everybody is looking to know that you've got their back, looking to know that you actually care. That's what's important. Mm-hmm. They're not, if they think you can't do the job, they're not even going to so much as speak to you. So absolutely. When you're talking, you're not there to tell them how great you are. You're there because they're going to figure out, do I believe in you? And a lot of that has to do with, do you hear me and do you care? And
yeah,
he saw that you cared and you were, it was both. That small gesture exemplified everything.
Mm-hmm. In the world. And also realizing something, and you, I give you all credit for this. So I came from a different brokerage where how you do business is very standard, right? And
transactional, maybe.
Yeah. And meeting with you for the first time, I remember just thinking, oh, wow, I really get to do business however I want. And I get to enjoy it and exploit my creativity and just be my full self and align my passions with my goals, with my day-to-day tasks. And it was really when I realized how lucky I am to be in an industry, how lucky all of us are to be in an industry where there are no rules. This is your complete business. You get to do whatever you want with it. And that's when I was like, oh, this is exciting. This is very exciting. And now I wake up with that, like, okay, what's next? What are we going to do today? What are we going to create today? You know? Yeah, for sure. And this is all thanks to you. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I had forgotten about that, but I remember our first call, it was about how many doors to knock on and how many calls to make. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the call, it was, and guys, there are people who knock on doors and do calls. And I'm not telling you not to do that if that's in your genre and what works. But in our call, we figured out that there were more powerful tools and resources and passions that you had that would align you to even better success.
And that's And there's one you specific did. Line. There's one specific, oh, my bad. I think I put out for a sec. Go ahead.
Okay. No, you're good.
Okay. I'll never forget this. So obviously I'm passionate about Cuba. That's where I come from. I'm very passionate about that. And it was always like such an into the future type of thing for me. And I remember you telling me just, why not now? That is the line that I'm going to frame that somewhere. Why not now? Why do you have to wait? And then I tried to explain to you why not now, and I actually couldn't think of an answer. You know, I'm like, oh, you're right. I can start this now. And it's those passions that will really fuel you. And obviously there are very hard days, especially when you're working so hard. We're in the long run, you know, real estate, there's no instant gratification. So it's difficult sometimes when you've been putting in weeks and weeks of work and you haven't seen maybe like a monetary result yet or something like that. And it's during those times where what's going to take you to the next day, what's going to keep you from not giving up after you've worked so hard. And it's tying it for me, it was tying that passion and thinking about beyond myself. You know, it's not even about me at this point. What I'm doing is not about me. It's about building generational wealth. It's about helping others, and it's about making a difference. And now it's so big that I have no choice but to keep going, you know?
Yeah. Well, passion and purpose, they don't quit.
No.
Discipline wears out if there's no passion and purpose behind it.
Yeah, most definitely. And knowing when to take a break is an important thing I've realized too. I'm working with that right now.
Yeah. Yeah, realizing when to take a break, what's important, growing, learning, and serving, and listening.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we wear so many hats as real estate agents. You know, we're our own company. You know, you're mm-hmm. the marketer, you're the salesperson, you're the receptionist, you're everything. So
yeah,
knowing how to utilize your time, but also knowing when to take a break and recharge is extremely important.
What great advice, because it's the time, all the hard work you do, there's a point of no return. If you don't stop mm-hmm. and back off, just like in working out and doing the right kind of workout to get the right results. And part of that workout is the rest that you get in between.
Absolutely. That's precisely it.
So now we're going into the final three questions, unless there's anything else, anything we've missed.
I want to say something. That's the one thing that maybe I wanted to say. A big learning for me recently has been venturing outside when negotiating, and not only negotiating with clients, but negotiating anything.
Oh, we have to share. Yes. Keep going.
Yeah. Negotiate past the monetary goal. So yes, we are all doing this because we want to make money, but what really moves people, I've realized, people will move mountains for you without you giving them a dollar if you're able to connect on that thing that they're truly passionate about. So there's this one specific person that I'm dying to work with me, and I cannot afford him. I cannot, simply. I don't think I'll be able to afford him for a while. He's very expensive, but I know what drives him. And I know that we align in certain things. And just because of that, I know he'll move mountains for me. And I know we can work together and make something so special. But all that to say, a lot of people get so stuck, and especially us, because we're negotiating monetary transactions, right? We're negotiating houses and price points. Go past that. It's never really about that. You think it is, but it's not. So just be able to dig deeper and realize why do people need the money, you know?
What is the value? What is the passion? Or even in a transaction, people call us to list their home, but and then our mind goes to, I'm the agent, I need to list the home, I need to get them to price it right so it will close. And all of those things stop mattering and just become annoying to a seller, because that stuff is at the surface of what the real needs are. What are the real needs? What are the real values? I mean, I'm going in a different direction, but it's whether negotiating with a vendor, whether you're negotiating a deal, the money is just the parts of the transaction that make it solid and get it to close. But there are layers of things that we just assume and assign to a dollar amount, but there are values, there are physical items, there are so many things that you can bring to the table that can completely, like, not just like make a better deal, but transform the transaction and what's even happening. And that's just repeating what you said, by the way, but.
Like, you make it sound so much better.
I'm just listing and repeating to everybody, right? That's, I'm the interviewer, that's my job. But it's so true. And thank you for that reminder. And it's something else I'll say, Melissa, is what you're saying to everybody. And then you can add on to this if to make sure I don't miss it. But when you look at, here's my mission, and it's not just, yes, there's a life I'm going to enjoy as a result of it, but what is it going to contribute to the world? Mm-hmm. And then seeing that mission, when something gets hard, that's not the sign, that's not the no, that's the step, that's the opportunity to find the path to obtain it.
Precisely. I'm so thankful for you.
I'm so thankful for you. Thank you.
Honestly, you're such a big blessing, and I don't take you for granted.
Thank you. Well, and I feel the same way about you and everybody who listens to the show and on the show. And thank you. Now the final three.
Let's go.
Question number one, looking at your career, what has been your biggest resource or best resource for your success?
My biggest the one thing. So I think it's very important to know where your support comes from. For me, that's my parents. And I know it's not like that for everybody, but I know everyone has one thing, one reason, one person that's beyond themselves. And for me, always being able to count on them, even when I can't count on myself, has been a pretty big driver my entire life.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Number two, I'm not even going to add to that. That was beautiful. Number two, thank you. Number two, and it's the foundation of who you are. I had to add, because that's it. And love. But number two is, if there's a book that's impacted your career or life or both, and you could only name one, what book would you name?
Never Eat Alone. And I'm rereading it now.
Wow.
Of course. Yeah. That book, man. And a lot of things that I talk about now are even principles from that book, because they're so engraved in me. And if you really look at if you're able to look at relationships differently through the lens of that book, man, you'll be so far ahead than most people. So that's definitely a book.
You're able to look at relationships through the lens of that book. What does that mean? Or to sum it up, what is your biggest takeaway? Or either answer either or both of those.
It's not about you. That's what I've realized. It's not about me. This life, it's so much more than me. It's so much greater than me. So not looking at like this conversation or any conversation, really, it's not about me. It's about you. How can I help you? How can I get you to where you want to go? And I'm sure you'll do the same for me in return.
And the places you go become so far greater than what you had originally imagined when you approach it that way. Absolutely. I mean, look at you.
Thank you.
The last question. If we forget, and everybody listening forgets everything from our conversation that we've said today, except for, but they only take away one thing. What is the one thing you hope they take away?
Get to know yourself. Be comfortable with yourself. Be so uncomfortable with yourself that you're comfortable. That has truly been such a key for me. When you're secure in who you are, nothing else can rock you. No one, no thing.
Great advice. Melissa Castillo in South Florida, Brickell in Miami, One Sotheby's International Realty. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Jerry. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Jerry Metcalf Podcast, where top real estate agents tell how they do it. If you like this episode, please share it with friends. To find more episodes, search Jerry Metcalf Podcast on any platform for podcasts, or go to jerrymetcalfpodcast.com. That's jerrymetcalf.com.